Ahab persuaded Jehoshaphat, who was naive and did not have good discernment about the evil in Ahab's mind and heart, persuaded Jehoshaphat to dress up in all his kingly robes while Ahab dressed up in the dress of an ordinary soldier. But the Bible says that God appointed an era. And at random, one of the soldiers of Ramoth-Gilead shot an arrow in the air, and it pierced between the joints of the armor of Ahab, and he died by God's hand, his sovereign will. And as a result, the body of Ahab was taken back to Jezreel in northern Israel, and as the prophet had predicted, his blood dripped from the chariot and the dogs licked it, and that's where we stopped. We saw that God is faithful. He keeps his word. And he brings judgment upon sin. And that we must flee to him for mercy if we would have it. Now we come to verse 40 where it says, "So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son became king in his place." Let's begin reading it, 1 Kings 22:41 now. "Now Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in all the way of Asa, his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might, which he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites who remained in the days of his father Asa, he expelled from the land. Now there was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go for the ships, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, 'Let my servants go with your servants in the ships.' But Jehoshaphat was not willing. Then Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David. And Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done." And this ends the first book of Kings. Now, it's so easy to just move on and continue the narrative into 2 Kings, but great space is given at the end of this chapter from verse 41 to 53 to expound the history of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Much time has been spent on Ahab, king of Israel in the north. And I felt that we needed to come back and take a look tonight at Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah during the time of Ahab, king of Israel in the north, and to consider what kind of man he was. and what he accomplished as a believer, as the king of Judah. There was no doubt that Ahab was an unbeliever. He worshiped the false gods of Baal and Ashtoreth, the fertility gods of the ancient Near East. But Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, who was a godly man, himself also was godly. And he accomplished many wonderful things. But as positive as this report is of Jehoshaphat, it's not the whole story. For there were some negative things as well. And so what I would like to do this evening is go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, where we have the account of Jehoshaphat's kingship in chapters 17 through 20 of 2 Chronicles. So please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So we find that Jehoshaphat, as it is summarized in 1 Kings 22, did many wonderful things. He became king in the fourth year of Ahab. He ruled 25 years. He was 35 years old when he became king, so he died at 60. And during that 25 years, he took away a lot of the idolatry of Israel, and we're going to find in a moment some of the positive things he did to restore the word of God to Israel. But the people still sacrificed on the high places. He wasn't perfect. He removed the male prostitute priest of Israel, of Judah, who were worshiping the false gods. But he still left the high places where the people would worship on the Sabbath at the temple and then go to the high places and worship the gods of the land and on the hillsides. He did not remove those. So we find that Jehoshaphat has a mixed testimony in Scripture, and that's an important point I want us to look at tonight. So what I want to do first of all is look in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 17, and see how he did many wonderful things for the honor of God as a believing king in Judah. And the first thing that we find that he did in 2 Chronicles 17 is recorded in these verses. Jehoshaphat, his son, then became king in his place, that is over Asa, and made his position over Israel firm. And here's the first thing he did. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had captured. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days. Now remember, David was very faithful in his earlier days. It was in his middle and later days that he sinned against the Lord. And he lost his testimony and his strength. So even the Bible recognizes that. And the writer of Chronicles recognizes that. He followed the example of his father David's earlier days and did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, followed his commandments, and did not act as Israel did. He was a godly man. And so Jehoshaphat, beginning his kingship at 35 years old, had the testimony of a man like unto David. He seemed to love the Lord, he loved God's commandments, and sought to live a godly life himself. In verse 5, so the Lord established the kingdom in his control. And all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor, and he took great pride in the ways of the Lord, and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. So he finally did that. Now, the second thing that he did is recorded in verses 7 and following. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. So the first thing he did was defend the nation, put it in a strong defense posture against invasion, against Israel on the north, against Egypt on the south. And the second thing he did was send teachers to all the cities of Judah. And it says in verse 9, they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. So Jehoshaphat instituted an education program, a religious education program, to make sure that the people of Judah understood the Word of God. And I don't recall any other king doing that, making sure that in the cities of Judah there was someone to teach the law of God, to teach the mercies of God, the character of God. And so Jehoshaphat showed the sincerity of his faith by trying to make sure that Judah, the people of Judah, stayed fast to the law of God. And then in verse 10, it says that God blessed his work. Now the dread of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of the lands which were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And then tribute was brought to him. And then the rest of this chapter explains the army that he raised up, the leaders of that army, and what a great king he was in terms of providing for the common defense of the land and educating the people in the ways of God. So these are some wonderful accomplishments here by Jehoshaphat, and they are admirable. That's not all the things that he did. In chapter 18, he also tried to teach the people that they needed to obey the land, obey the Lord in their judgments. And in chapter 19, he actually sent judges out through the cities and through the various districts of Judea. Chapter 19, Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, returned in safety to the house in Jerusalem. And then it says that he, in verse 5, he appointed judges in the land in all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, and this tells you something about what was in the mind of this man, consider what you're doing. And I really would love to put this in the minds of our judges today. Consider what you're doing. For you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you when you render judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do. For the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness, or partiality, or the taking of a bribe. And in Jerusalem also Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the heads of the fathers of Israel, the household of Israel, for the judgment of the Lord and to judge disputes among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then he charged them, saying, thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and wholeheartedly. And all of these warnings could be said not only to judges, but to any of us here in our work, that whatever we do as God's creatures is to be for his glory and in his ways. And so we see that Jehoshaphat had a mindset that there needed to be defense of the people of God, there needed to be an education of the law of God to the people, and there needed to be judges to make sure that God's law was enforced among the people in civil disputes. He had an orderly mind. He really was a wise king. He was a righteous king in so many ways. And when we study his life here in these last chapters, we see some of these wonderful attributes coming out. But Jehoshaphat had faults as well. Jehoshaphat did some things badly. And for all of his positive qualities rehearsed in 1 Kings 22 and even in the first chapters here, or in these chapters 17 through 20, where we find, again, many wonderful things. Jehoshaphat, I believe, sinned against the Lord. And the consequences of his sins were not always evident in his life or in his lifetime. But after he died, these sins of Jehoshaphat almost lost the kingdom of Judah, almost destroyed the people of God. Now, Jehoshaphat, I do believe, was a spiritual man. In chapter 20, we find that when the sons of Moab and Ammon, remember those were the pagan countries to the east of the Jordan River, sort of across the river from Jerusalem in the Holy Land. They had been pretty quiet since Solomon subdued them. But now they rose up against Jehoshaphat and were going to attack him, and they headed toward Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat felt like he did not have an army to defeat them. So what did he do? He declared a fast of all the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And then he prayed, and he said in chapter 20, verse 6, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? Art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they lived in it and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee. For thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou wilt hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold, how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from thy possession, which thou hast given us as an inheritance. O Lord, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. That is a great prayer for a king. And it shows how he thought about God and how he thought about himself. He really was not a prideful, arrogant man. He really did trust in the Lord and called upon the Lord to deliver him. And he did this in front of all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, prayed this prayer. And we find that God listened to his prayer and delivered them from the sons of Ammon and Moab, because God turned them against themselves and they killed themselves. So he was a godly man, but he did things badly. And the first thing that I think he did that was destructive to the whole concept of the kingdom of Judah, and probably the worst thing he did, was that he gave his son Jehoram, who was to be the next king of Judah after him, he made a pact with Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab and Jehoshaphat got together, and Jehoshaphat, I believe, in the sincerity of his heart, was trying to make peace for Judah by making peace with Israel, and trying to bring the two countries back to be brothers. And we find that spirit in Jehoshaphat, as we saw last time in the presence of Ahab. But in order to seal that unity between the two countries, he made a pact with Ahab that Jehoram, his son, would marry Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now, there's no question that Jezebel was an avid worshiper of the fertility gods Baal and Ashtoreth. And she led the kingdom of Israel in the north to bring in the Sidonian Baals, who were some of the most pagan and ungodly worshipers in the ancient world. And that spread throughout all of Israel in the north, not to mention the worship of the golden calves. And so Athaliah was raised in that household. And we've already seen that Ahab himself was a deceptive man. He was a manipulative man. He knew how to pout to get his way. Even if it was to get his wife to commit murder for him, he knew how to do it. And so here was Jehoshaphat thinking, if I would just arrange the marriage of my son to the daughter of Ahab, we would have an alliance formed between our two countries that would result in peace. Now, what happened from that is that they did indeed marry. And in the marriage of Jehoram and of Athaliah, Jehoshaphat was trapped into a family kind of dynamic with Ahab. So when Ahab manipulated Jehoshaphat and said, my brother, come with me to bring Ramoth-Gilead back to the people of God, Jehoshaphat said, oh, my people are your people. My army is your army. He entrapped himself by trying to make alliances that God himself would not approve. God was very plain in the Old Testament that the people of Israel were not to marry unbelievers and bring those who worship false gods into the people of Israel. They were to marry believers, people of the faith of Yahweh. And yet what we find is that Solomon brought in all these foreign wives, and they introduced pagan worship into Judah, which had to be dealt with by people like Asa and Jehoshaphat. And in the north, Jeroboam himself introduced the false worship of the golden calves. And now Ahab increased that paganism by bringing Jezebel in to be queen. And now Jehoshaphat, this man who seemed to be good and wise and faithful, made a mistake. Instead of looking among his own people for a young woman who loved God to be the wife of his son Jehoram, he yielded to expediency and compromised the principles of God's commandments just in this one case, and gave his son to Athaliah. Now, when Jehoshaphat died, Jehoram became king of Israel, which meant that Athaliah became queen of Israel. And when she became queen of Israel, which, as you follow through 2 Kings and see the history of what happened to the son of Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, we find that when Jehoram died, his son, the son of Athaliah and Jehoram, became king. His name was Ahaziah. And Ahaziah became king, but when he became king, Athaliah had all, first of all, Jehoram had all of his brothers and sisters killed when he became king. And when he died, Athaliah had all of her children and grandchildren killed, so that only her child Ahaziah would be king. And when he died, she became the head of Israel. She was not of the line of David. She was a pagan queen from the pagan Israel of the north, of the heritage of Jezebel, and of the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and she became queen of Judah. Judah came that close to losing the line of David that God had promised David he would have. From her sins, from Judah's sins. And yet, in the midst of Queen Athaliah trying to take over the land, unbeknownst to her, Jehoaz, a young boy, a young son of Jehoram, was hidden by the high priest in the temple for 6 years. And so, on his sixth year, Jehoaz was pronounced by the high priest to be the new king of Israel, of the line of David and the line of Jehoram. And when that happened, Athaliah raised such a ruckus and went down to the temple and began cursing and talking about treason that the people took her out and killed her. And the line of David was preserved by God. Now, where did that start? It started with Jehoshaphat making an unwise decision and refusing to follow the law of God for his son, and that God had set forth in the Bible. And by being a good man, it's so easy to say, well, it's just a fault he had. And in a sense, it was. He was naive about Ahab. He intended to protect Judah and keep her safe. And so he, in trying to do the will of God, in his zeal for God and his desire to do right, he really took his eyes off the law of God just for a moment, and made a decision that almost destroyed the line of the Messiah. Now, we know God is sovereign, but God has worked in the Bible through fallible men to keep his work alive. And we see how close the decision of one man just to ignore one of the laws of God almost resulted in the downfall of the entire kingdom. So, as good a man as Jehoshaphat was, as many things as he accomplished, he still didn't deserve to go to heaven. He was a man that understood that you had to be saved by God's grace. Like Abraham, like David, he walked in the path of David from his earlier days. He loved the Lord like Asa, his father. He tried to follow as best he knew how so many of the commandments of God and rid the paganism of the land, and yet sometimes the pressure got to him. And instead of trusting in God to deliver him and his country, in being faithful to God's commandments and what he was doing, he allowed the pressures and the fears of what could happen in the future compromise his principles. And not just his principles, but the very commandments of God. He no longer taught his son as he should have, Jehoram, and guided his son in the kind of woman he should not marry and the kind he should marry. And when he took the authority to arrange the marriage of his son, I fear that Jehoshaphat was thinking more of himself and the security of his kingship and of his legacy as being a great righteous king than of what was best for his son or for the glory of God. That's a lesson we can learn. The best of men are men at best, the Bible says. And we need to understand that in every believer, God has chosen to allow a measure of sinfulness to remain for us to put to death for his glory, for us to overcome for his honor, for us to apply the righteousness of Christ and the blood of Christ to our minds and hearts so that we would hate all sin that remains within us and love good and righteousness as we should have to begin with. And so when we look at Jehoshaphat, we see in terms of the Old Testament, he really was a very good king. He did many wonderful things. But it really only takes us one time to ignore the wisdom of God and the word of God and the law of God and create a situation in our lives or the lives of others that brings destruction. And Jehoshaphat didn't make just one mistake. He got caught in this, secondly, in this trap with Ahab to pretend as he went into battle against Ramoth-Gilead to dress as a great king, and Ahab dresses as an average soldier. I think I would call that gullible. But it shows in a sense how sincere he was. On the other hand, he didn't always use wisdom in his decisions. That's admirable to want to do what is right, but you have to know the word of God to choose what is right. And somewhere in there, Jehoshaphat did not have the wisdom to understand that when you make alliances with an evil man, you entrap yourself in his evil. And it's only by God's grace that Jehoshaphat was not killed and he was able to escape the battle where Ahab had been wounded and killed, and he was able to make it back to Jerusalem to safety. And if that didn't teach Jehoshaphat a lesson, the third instance should have. Because the son of Ahab was Ahaziah. You have to be careful on all these names in here because they named them after each other. And what we find is that after Ahab died, that Jehoram, his son, there were two Jehorams who were king of Israel and Judah at the same time because they were all in the same family and they used the same names. This Jehoram walked in the way, it says in 2 Chronicles 21, of the kings of Israel. And this Jehoram of Judah modeled his kingship after Ahab instead of Jehoshaphat, his father. And so it says that he walked in the way of the kings of Israel just as the house of Ahab did. For Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And verse 20, verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 21 is a key passage here for us to get. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant which he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. So God's justice was restrained in its final disposition against what Jehoshaphat had done and what his son Jehoram had done. He allowed Athaliah to bring the pagan worship now from the north into the south. And Jerusalem and Judah was taken over by that pagan worship during the reign of Jehoram, because Jehoshaphat had given that woman Athaliah to be his wife. And in all of this, the reason that the kingdom was not destroyed, the reason that Jehoash was saved, this son of Jehoram, that Athaliah could not reach and kill, is not because Jehoshaphat was so good and wise. It was not because his son Jehoram was good and wise. In fact, he walked in the ways of the northern kings instead of the southern kings. But because God keeps his promises. He was not willing to destroy the house of David because he made a promise to David. And that gives me a lot of hope. When God gives his promises, he keeps them. His word is unbreakable. In a world in which everything changes day after day, politicians make promises during campaigns. Absolutely no way I will break this promise. When they are elected to office, they break them. There's always a reason. It always makes sense. But God keeps his word. That's why the middle verses of the Bible say, "Trust not in men, but in the Lord." And here we find that Jehoshaphat, who was a sincere man, who was unwise in some of the decisions he made, was still not cast away by God for his weaknesses. He was still commended as a good king of Israel because of God's mercy and grace. And in spite of his weaknesses, God stepped in and saved the seed of David from dying out. And in all of this, we learn this lesson. And that is, the best of us have many faults as Christians. But Christ has promised to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You may have had many disappointments in God's people. You've seen them where on a good day they seem to be so loving of Christ and they seem to be so faithful, but at other times you've seen them in their weakness, in their moment of temptation. It's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to become cynical. And in today's society in America, when you see the fall of people like the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard, and you see the big names on TV getting divorces and being caught in adultery, it's easy for the American public to become cynical and for people in the churches to become cynical. And if we see any fault in each other, it's magnified beyond measure out of fear. But God has promised to draw straight lines with crooked sticks, to bring forth a heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, to build his church through people like us, sincere, seeking to follow the Lord as best we can understand, but still faulty, making many mistakes, falling into sin again. And yet God is able to overcome that. For it is his will that the church of Christ be built with people like us, that his glory, the glory of his grace, may be praised eternally, that he loved people like this, and that his power may be honored, that he he was able to use people like us. There's so much about Jehoshaphat that comes too close to home for the Christian living in this world today. But we need to understand that God was faithful, and he kept his promise to even people like that and brought forth his son to be born in Bethlehem, because God keeps his word. And when you set your hope upon him, upon his goodness and wisdom, upon his power and faithfulness, upon his mercy and justice, when he is your hope and not men, an odd thing begins to happen. You quit caring so much what men may do to you, and you do not compromise your principles as much with them. When you see the weakness of even God's people, you no longer become cynical or fearful as you once did. And you begin to see, as you study through the Bible, not only the virtues of God's godly people, but their weaknesses, their character weaknesses, their remaining sins that are so ugly. And as you continue to learn these things, as you work through the scripture, you see one thing standing out after all: that you can depend upon God to keep his promises to you. If you have come to Jesus Christ and believed his promise to receive a sinner like you, you can live and die on that promise. And if you have come to this God who has promised to overcome even your own sinfulness as well as the sinfulness of this world, to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose, you can depend on that and live with a mind that not only is at peace with God through Christ, but has the peace of God which passes understanding. Because God is faithful. We're not. That's why we can't save ourselves. That's why we cannot work things out in our lives where our lives actually work out. We have to admit who we are and what we are, and have the humility and the wisdom that Jehoshaphat sometimes had and sometimes didn't, to say, I must look to God all the time. I must guard my heart and my decisions all the time. I must look to the God who has saved me by the blood of his son, and love him and keep his commandments, to be the most useful vessel I can be in this life. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? And it is. We are the ones who are complicated. We are the ones who do not think of God as we should, who do not look to his word when we should, and rush to decisions without even asking the question, you know, I wonder what God thinks about this. And such a mindless way of thinking, I believe, is what caused Jehoshaphat to almost destroy the kingdom. Let it not be so with us. Let us be on the alert. Gird up the loins of our minds, said Peter. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, said Paul. Think. Think about God's grace and undeserved mercies to you, which apparently Jehoshaphat understood. But think about his commandments and trust in God more than alliances with men to make things work. Be willing to live with a messy world in which you are seeking to follow God. And God in his mercy will use a vessel like you, like me, in spite of our faults and failures. and he will turn even our faults and failures around for his glory, to build his kingdom still. Knowing we have such a God, it drives us to our knees to be faithful, to be thankful for his grace, to love him and to keep his commandments no matter what. And as we've been studying in Proverbs, to trust in him with all our heart, to let his word guide us in every step, and believe that he will make things plain and cause them all to work for good. Well, there's a lot of messy history after the death of Jehoshaphat, both in Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And we're going to probably follow through some of that. It's just so ugly, and yet it's what we are, and it's why we need a Savior. It's why you need a Savior. And it's why you need to set your mind on things above where Christ is. And use your mind not to just coast through the world and try to make things work like Jehoshaphat did, but take steps that are thoughtful and in accordance with God's word. God will bring himself glory in such a life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can look into the scriptures and see in the life of Jehoshaphat, one who did love you and who walked much like King David in his personal life. He even tried to teach the word of God to the people and institute a justice system that's righteous and fair according to the scripture. He tried to rid the land of false worship. He did so many good things, and yet in an unthoughtful moment, he made alliances with the world to make his position more secure instead of trusting in you to make his position secure. And I pray that you would help us to learn from this, that we must every day examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, and also to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, to exert effort to think about what our choices are and if they're according to your word or not, so that we will see it in our lives and in the lives of our families, whose decisions we many times also make, that we will see faithfulness come from us, and that we will have rest of mind and heart that you're almighty enough to cause those who have integrity and who follow your word, that all things would work together for good. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not compromise his principles with his enemies as Jehoshaphat did, and therefore went to the cross and was killed for it. But in his faithfulness, we see the accomplishment of our salvation, and that it is always right to follow the Lord's will. Forgive us of our sins through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to overcome the remaining sins and blindness and ignorance, to be humble enough to admit that we have such things, so that we'll not be like Jehoshaphat and make choices and decisions that will in some way undermine others' lives. Forgive us of our sins tonight in the name of Christ. Help us to love him and keep his commandments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.